Turn to Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18. Of course, you can find the Gospel of Luke in the table of contents in your Bible if you're looking for it. It's toward the back of your Bible in the New Testament. Luke chapter 18. And this is a parable by Jesus. Maybe some of you have heard it before. Beginning in verse 9 of Luke 18. We're going to be looking at prayer, and part of the reason why is this kind of a continuing emphasis on prayer after our Praying Life seminar that we had about a month and a half ago. Some of you were there for that, and I want those of you who weren't there for that to benefit as well from one of the aspects of what we learned. But hear now the Word of God. This is from Luke chapter 18. We're going to begin in verse 9 and read through verse 14. This is not the word of man, but it is the word of God. This is the sword of the Holy Spirit. Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Everybody say, ooh. Yeah, tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift his eyes up to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man, the tax collector, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. But the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, please teach us. Deepen our minds and let it grip our hearts so that our lives are changed and we live for your glory. And we enjoy you above everyone and anything else. In and of ourselves, we cannot do it. But with you, all things are possible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, at the recent Praying Life seminar, getting feedback, hearing from people who went to it, one of the things that they took away from it, a lot of people really enjoyed about it, was this teaching that we can come to God messy in prayer. We can come to God as a mess in prayer. A lot of people mentioned this as something that they appreciated about the teaching that Keith, our teacher, brought to us. We can come to God as a mess. And I think that maybe one of the reasons why this was a touching teaching was that we don't often think about prayer like this. I looked it up on Google. I typed prayer on Google or praying or something like that. And there are all these pictures of people at like sunset, you know, with like, you know, smoke coming from somewhere, you know, their hands together, and they just look so peaceful and clean and relaxed and everything's okay. It's like, it's just perfect. It's never a mess. I mean, occasionally you came across a picture of a man on his knees, like, you know, looking up to God, calling out to him. But most of the prayers were these very, and it's not that prayer can't be that way. It's just that so often we think that in order to come to God in prayer, we need to come to God clean. Spiritually feeling very spiritual. maybe very spiritually mature, that's the time when I can come to God in prayer, because that's the time that God likes my prayer. He doesn't like my prayer if I come to Him like a mess. He likes my prayer when I'm clean, when I'm in the right place, when I'm in the right mood. And so you know what ends up happening? We never pray, because we just don't often feel that way. But the message today is that as much as prayer can be that very spiritual, deep time, and we can feel very spiritual, and we should have spiritual maturity and be growing and so on, nevertheless, it's okay to be a mess when we pray. Because we have been justified by faith in Jesus. Because we have been justified by faith in Jesus, we can be messy in prayer. Let's begin just looking at Jesus' parable here. In verse 9, Jesus told this parable, and this is so important to understanding the parable, to those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. I can imagine that this parable didn't go over so well for these people. I don't know how much they appreciated hearing this parable, but Jesus loved them enough to tell them the truth through a story. He told this parable to some who trusted in themselves. And just as a side point here to what prayer is, trusting in yourself is the very opposite of what prayer is. Prayer is at its root about depending on God, trusting in God, knowing who God is, and then gladly and lovingly depending upon Him. So trusting in themselves, this is already bad, but they trust in themselves something in particular, that they were righteous. That they were righteous. What does righteous mean? This is a very religious word, a very Christian word. Well, right there in the word righteous is the word what? Right, not wrong, okay? They trust in themselves that they always do right. That they never do wrong. You can see this in verse 11. And this Pharisee, he does have a good sense for what sin is. In the Westminster Shorter Catechism, anybody know the answer? What is sin? Sin is any want of conformity to or transgression of the law of God. What does that mean? Want of conformity to means you're not lining up with what it should be. So you're doing the wrong thing. Or you're not doing the right thing, rather. You should be doing the right thing, and you're not. And transgression is you've done the wrong thing. These are the very kinds of things the Pharisee lays out about himself. Listen to him. He says, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers. He's not doing these bad things. And then he highlights the good things that he is doing. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. He trusts in himself that he is righteous. He believes he's not doing anything wrong and he's only doing what is right. And because of that, his prayer is acceptable to God. That he is acceptable to God. He can come to God in prayer because he is perfect. He's perfect. And he's not like that man over there. Notice that in all of these ways, by the way, he's comparing himself to this tax collector. Because these were the kinds of things the tax collector was doing and was not doing. Do you know what a tax collector was like? The tax collector, he wasn't just somebody who said, hey, you know, you owe the government this much money and I'll take that money from you. No, what they did was they took advantage of people. Okay? So when he talks about, I'm not like other men, extortioners, do you guys know what extortion is? It's like saying, if you don't give me the money, I'm going to break your arms, right? It's like mobster type stuff. This is the kind of way he was treating people. He'd go to these people, mom and dad both working hard, barely making enough money, okay, to make it either day to day, just not even paycheck to paycheck, day by day. They're just barely making enough to make a living. And then the tax collector shows up and says to dad in front of the kids, you owe me this much money. He says, that's not true. The government says I only owe you 10. Why do I got to give you 20? He says, because I'm the tax collector. If you don't give me $10 on top of it, I'll break your arm. And dad has to give up the extra money. But what if they come to dad and they say, give me the 20? He says, why? The government only wants 10. Why do I have to give you an extra 10? He says, because I'm the tax collector, and if you don't give it to me, I'm going to break your arm. No, but this time he doesn't say I'm going to break your arm. And this time the dad doesn't have the extra 10. So what does the tax collector say? I'd like to sleep with your wife. Yeah, that's why he mentions adultery. Yeah. Tax collector is not just an extortionist, he's an adulterer. I'll take your wife. That's the kind of awful person tax collectors were. They were a mess. They were a mess. They didn't go to church on Sunday. They didn't give money to the church. They didn't tithe. Right? They didn't fast. They were really awful people. And here's this Pharisee. He's like, look, I'm not like him. I'm a perfect person. But he trusts in himself that he's righteous. He doesn't trust the Old Testament that he knew really, really well that said, because you're one of Adam's children, you have a deep problem with sin still. Doesn't matter how often you go to church. Doesn't matter that you don't do these kind of big bad things. Your heart is still a mess. And if you trusted in God and you trusted in his word and not in yourself, you would begin to see the reality of your heart that you have a deep problem with pride and a complete lack of love for neighbor. And you really don't desire the glory of God, but the glory of yourself. And this is repugnant in God's eyes, just like any other set of sins. This man may have thought, oh, I'm so acceptable because I'm clean in God's eyes, and my prayer is so good because I feel very spiritual. But in reality, the reality of it was God was very displeased because he trusted in himself, and it was all about his own glory. It wasn't about God at all. But in verse 13, it says the tax collector, standing far off. Now, he's in the temple, but he's standing far off. By the way, did you notice they're standing when they pray? Just a little note here. You know, when you pray, it's okay to stand. It's okay to sit down. It's okay to be on your knees. Sometimes it's appropriate for you to lay face down. Be like, God, please help me. Sometimes it's good to put your hands up and say, God, what a wonderful day this has been. I want to praise you. Sometimes it's good to hold another person's hands, like your wife or your husband, and cry while you're praying. Sometimes it's good to call somebody on the phone and be like, would you pray for me over the phone? Sometimes it's good to get on Zoom and pray by Zoom. I'm not going to tell you to close your eyes while you're driving. That's not good. Don't do that. But you can pray while you're driving. You can pray in all kinds of ways. Okay, and the Jewish people, they often would stand, but this tax collector is standing far off, and he wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven. He's humble. He's been humble. He was doing all these awful things. He was very messy. He was extorting people. He was ruining families. He was sleeping with other men's wives. He was unjust. He wasn't showing up at church on Sunday. He wasn't reading his Bible. He wasn't praying every day. But for whatever reason, he has been deeply convicted about his sin. And he shows up to the temple. People must have seen him walking into church. You know, just imagine that person that you thought, that person will never go to church. And they walked in this morning. And you saw them sitting right up here. No, rather back there, at the very back. And they're crying like the whole time during worship. They're beating their breast. You can hear them praying under their breath, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You would be astounded. But you might also think, that person, he's been promoting transsexuality. You know, he made fun of me at school. He beats people up. He's a jerk. She is such a... You would just like, it's just, she's just putting on a show back there. She thinks she's so, now she wants to be religious, huh? A lot of us might look at them and think, this is not acceptable to God. I'm here every week. I give money. I don't do the things that they do. Maybe we would be convicted if Jesus told us this very parable, because we've forgotten what it means to know God, to come to God, and that prayer, in fact, is always going to be on some level a mess, because all of us are still a mess. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, I tell you, this man went home justified. And that's a fancy word. Why does he say that? Why doesn't he say, now I tell you, this man was the good one? Or, now I tell you, this man's prayer was okay. Why does he say he went home justified? And justified is an important word. Christians should know what this means. Now, I already asked you in the word righteous, what's the word in righteous that you might notice? Right. What about justified? What's the word you might notice in justified? Just. They're very similar. Just, right. In fact, these two words in the Greek are very much the same. They come from the same root word for justice or righteousness or right or just. One man thinks he's righteous, but he's not. And because he trusts in himself and not God for his righteousness, he doesn't leave righteous, but he leaves condemned. But the other man, who humbles himself and is humbled about his sin, but looks to God and trusts that God is right, God is just, and God is merciful, he leaves not condemned, but justified. Why? Because through faith in God, at that time it would have been in the temple where sacrifices were being burned for sins. He was trusting that the sacrifice that God provided for his people would be counted as enough to take away his sins. These sacrifices that were like shadows and figures of what was to come, previews of what would be when the Lamb of God who comes into the world to take away sin would take away sin. And the Lamb of God, of course, had to be without blemish, truly righteous. The only truly righteous one who didn't just give his money at church, who didn't just show up on Sunday, and who didn't just avoid the big sins, but whose very heart, inside and out to its very core, was pure, was light, was good, was righteous, was just, was merciful. He loved God with all of his mind and soul and strength and spirit, and loved neighbor as himself. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, was truly righteous. And he died in the place of those who pray, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And when this man came to God for mercy, God counted his sins punished in Jesus, his adulteries, his extortion, his lack of love for God and neighbor, all punished in the Lamb of God who came to take away sins. And he counted that man just. How could he count this man just? He wasn't just. He was totally messy. But God counts Jesus's justness, Jesus's good record, as his, and the man receives it with the open hand of faith, and in God's eyes he is perfectly clean. Can we come to God messy in prayer? It's the only way we can come to God in prayer, because not a single one of us is righteous. Only Christ was. But you might say, well, yes, okay, Pastor Tim, the very first time you pray, here's this guy, he's becoming a Christian. The very first time you pray, you come to God a mess. But the next day you wake up and you go to God, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And you look up hoping for him to say, very good, my child. I'm happy you prayed thus. You know that it's okay to be a mess in prayer. And you say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And you look up at your dad and he goes, enough of that. Yeah, that was for yesterday. But now that you're a Christian, you need to be clean. Squeaky clean every day if you want to come to me in prayer. Now, when you get your life together and it's totally perfect, when you're totally spiritual and you feel that kind of om kind of moment, then you come back and you pray to me. But not until then. You say, okay. And what happens to the Christian when they think that? The prayer life totally dies. Or they become like a Pharisee, looking down on everyone else and not really noting that still the mess is within. We are all sinners. Still, as Christians, as those who've been made alive through faith in Jesus, joined with Him in His resurrection, enabled to overcome sin in our lives, there will never be a day that you're not still a mess on some level. But we're justified because of Christ and His work on our behalf, taking our sins, making us righteous. We are justified to come to God as a mess in prayer. I'm not saying that we have to remain as much of a mess as we were before. Just as much as we are justified, we are also being sanctified through faith in Jesus. In other words, we are being made holy progressively throughout our life. Our Christian life, if it starts here, it's not going to look like this. Ding! Perfect like in a day. And it's not going to look like this either. Just steadily, 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 steadily upward off. Okay? It's going to look like this. Oh, there was a real bad day here. Bad day. Oh my gosh, you went below there. Whoa! Wait, good, good. Okay? But yet, over time, there's a progression that's taking place. And you're growing. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is at work in you. But nevertheless, again, I'll say, there will never be a day until Jesus returns that you won't be on some level a mess and needing to pray, God be merciful to me, a sinner. There will never be a day when you're just absolutely, perfectly, spiritually mature. We always come to God as a mess in prayer. And so there'll be space for you to say, God, I don't even feel like praying right now. And you can say that to Him. God, I don't even feel like going to church today. I'm going to go. I just don't even feel it today. And you can say that to Him. He's okay with that. He already knows it. And it's good for you to communicate with Him in this way. Because God uses that. He changes us through that. God, I really don't even want to witness for you. I don't want to tell people about you. Tell Him. He already knows. God, I'm tired. I'm just tired. Lord, this is so hard. Did you know you can complain in prayer to God? God, life is hard. Maybe you've grown up with people who are like, don't complain, don't complain, don't complain. And there's a place for that. We shouldn't just be complainers about everything. But life is hard. Life is messy. You can bring that to God. He's okay with it. He can take it. We need to learn to pray as a mess. Because every day we still are. Until Christ returns, that will be the case. I mean, why else would Jesus have us celebrate a meal that reminds us of His death on the regular basis? On the night that Jesus was betrayed, He took bread and He broke it and He said, "This is my body broken for you. Take and eat. All of you." On the same night, He took the cup and He said, "This is my blood, the blood of the new covenant shed for you. Take and drink, all of you." Why would Jesus want us to be reminded on a regular basis that He needed to shed His blood for us? Because we need to be reminded on a regular basis that we're still a mess. We still need His grace. And He's happy to give it again and again and again. If you're here and you've been baptized and you trust in Jesus Christ for salvation, and you're a member in good standing of any gospel preaching church, then you are welcome at the table because it is a family meal. If you're here and you've yet to be baptized and trust in Christ, then please let the elements pass for now. But, of course, please come. Talk to me. Talk to Elder Jay, Pastor Ray. Talk to anybody about the fact that you would like to be baptized because you trust in Jesus and want to be a part of the new humanity, the people of God.